Welcome to the Tiny Morbid Fantasies podcast with your host, Andrea and Sophia.
This is a podcast of short stories based on our everyday tiny morbid thoughts. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Tiny Morbid Fantasies.
No, it's perfect. If it's your first time, welcome. And if you're a returning listener, thanks for sticking by us while we took a break, and welcome back.
You can watch a selection of our videos on YouTube, Tiny Morbid Fantasies, or binge old episodes on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, or anywhere you listen to podcasts.
All right, and today we have a story written by Tiny Morbid Sophia.
That's me.
Kind of had like the Disney show feel to it. That's me. And then this is your story on the theme for the month, or no, the writing prompt for this month, which was...
Where have you been?
Thank you. Where have you been? Whew, my brain.
Out of mind for you?
It's been... I wrote my story. I told my story. Done.
Yeah.
I flushed it. But did you finally think you got your story? Like, I know you had trouble with the middle. The meat.
Yeah, I put the meat on that sandwich, and I topped it off with some bread, and I crunched those chips into it, and you know what?
I'm so fucking hungry.
I know, me too. And I took a bite out of that big old story sandwich. And
that was a good analogy.
Thanks. It's 4 pages long.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I don't know how long mine was, because I just wrote it as a big block of text. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It could be, should just be like 2 or 3 minutes. But good, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, it'll, I read through it, I'm actually pretty, I'm pretty good with it, yeah, because there were some things that I guess when I was writing it, I was super high in different parts of it, so I was hanging out with my friend Sarah, and I was banging some of it out while we were hanging out, and then I realized I'm into this, but then I'm going back to read what I wrote, and while it does make sense, I don't know how to put it into the story, and those are... They were lovely paragraphs that I wrote, I'll be honest, but it just...
It didn't flow well, or did you just need to be high again?
No, it just, the story went in a different direction ultimately.
Oh, okay.
And it was very descriptive. So, yeah, Sober Sophia edited this.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
You should have like a high story, like high story prompt.
Oh, I would like that.
Next time.
We're recording on a random weeknight because as adults who do this as a side thing that we enjoy, it was really hard to make time to dedicate to record this.
Shit happens. Usually we do it on Saturday, like the week before it comes out, but I had to work on that Saturday, so here we are on a Tuesday evening.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, we did schedule it for Monday, but, well, then we didn't.
So Mondays are weird, though. Mondays are hard.
You're getting back into your weekly groove, and it just kind of smacks you in the face, and you're like, I would enjoy being at home right now.
Yeah, and for us, at the where I work, it's the busiest day of the week, because people are putting in, like, leads from the weekend, and no one's there on Sunday.
Oh.
So it's, like, a lot of garbage siphon through, That's pretty fair. Much.
Yeah.
Sending out a bunch of emails, telling people that the car's not available, you know. Car things. Dealership things.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Anything new with you?
No, not that I can think of. I would like to work on... I forget where I was going with that, and I got distracted. I'm not even high. Like, I'm done. I don't know. So...
It's Tuesday. We don't have a lot of energy left.
I know, I'm just like, is it too late to order food? My Chinese food place is closed, but I can get something else. Maybe I'll just, like, heat up something from the freezer. I don't want a frozen chicken. I'm going to get popcorn. All right. I'm trying to focus, but it's hard to focus when I'm hungry. And I, like, ramble.
Do you have a Snickers? So, you're not you. You're hungry.
And no more candy. I went to the baby shower on Sunday, and I had, like, cake and sweets, and they made me take home sweets, and then I got high and ate them all. I don't usually eat that much sugar, like baked goods. So there's like these little jam filled scones, and like I had like 4 danishes.
That sounds delicious.
And like 5 scones because Carrie didn't like them, but they were like shortbread. And oh, that was fucking good.
Shortbread.
So I got high and I ate like a bunch of baked goods, and then I felt like shit on Monday because I was full of sugar. Like I'm fat, but like because I don't exercise, not because I eat cake all the time. There's a difference.
It's a difference.
Anyway, so there's nothing new with me. What's new with you? Anything you want to share?
Well, I mean, that is a heavy topic right now because I just got notice that my landlord is selling our apartment or condo that we've been living in for the past 6, 7, something like that, years.
Has it been that long? Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while since we lived together. 5, 6, 7, something like that.
Yeah, like 6 years. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And just realizing my relationship overflaps with that. Overlaps, not overflaps. Gross. Yeah, Tuesday evenings.
Yes, it overflaps with that.
That sucks. So they're going to put it up for sale starting in June?
I'm not really sure, but our lease is up at the end of August. So okay. We've started looking for places now. And that is super stressful because it is not on our terms. But we've been saving up for years. And you know what? We're ready, I think, maybe.
I'm glad you were at least saving up, so it's not like, oh god, what are we going to do in 3 months? Like, at least you have the funds there. And if you can't find a place to buy, maybe you can just rent again, or at least temporarily, short term. You have options.
Yeah, there's options there. I was not looking forward to getting back into this rental market right now, because it is awful.
It's garbage, yeah.
We have been so lucky to rent our place for what we've been renting it for, which allowed us to save for a house.
Good points.
Yeah.
And it's a nice neighborhood.
It is.
Good neighbors, but...
Yeah. Yeah. It's just sad, too, because I have this idea of the type of house that I really want to live in, and it's this, like, two-pillared craftsman-style home. It's very specific, I know. I keep finding it out of my price range.
It's not even a stretch. Like, it's just too far. Okay.
It's just not even, So, that's what's new with me.
Yeah, please don't make yourself house poor.
I've heard stories. We have some on there on our list that are very, I want to say modest. Like, if you saw the home, you'll understand exactly what I mean by that.
Okay. Also, one thing to consider, I heard my coworkers talking about this today. She's like, when I move, I'm going to make sure the house doesn't have natural gas because the price of natural gas. Oh, no. I mean, if you don't have that option, that's fine. But it's like a lot per gallon right now. Anyway.
That's a good. No. We're probably not going to get any of the homes that we look at right now. Because if we're being honest, we're going to be outbid, and we don't even know what we're getting into right now. This is the search.
Step one.
Yeah.
So.
And it's funny because the realtor that was referred to me by somebody who just sold their home, I reached out to them on Friday, and they just got back to me on Tuesday, and I'm like, I guess I give up on you. Because I got to be honest, we got to go with this right now.
I don't like the response time.
Yeah. But then they were really aggressive today to make up for it all. They called me twice, emailed me, and texted me, and all within the span of like 20 minutes. And I was like, that's too much.
Yeah.
I like the realtor that I landed on. She's just like, look at these homes. I made a list for you. How are you making out?
Yeah.
I haven't heard from you. Did you need anything from me? And I'm like, oh, you're right. It has been like a day and a half. Thanks.
And I just remembered, we did have a realtor guy, but I don't know if I would suggest him or not, because I only used him to, like, try to find an apartment, and then we ended up not finding one. But
that's all fair.
I know is he's cute, and he has tattoos, and he, like, rolled up his sleeves, and I was just I'm married, sir.
Why are you putting your tattoos away?
I mean, he was just there. It was hot.
He was hot.
No, like, the weather was hot.
Oh.
And so he rolled up his... Shut up. Anyway, good luck with your search, and I will keep sending you Zillow things.
Please do.
I keep seeing houses for myself, and I was like, we don't have enough saved up. We want to have at least, like, 20K just to feel safe.
Yeah.
Because... But we're first-time home buyers, so we might not need that much, but I still want that much, because... There's a lot that goes into it. You know.
Yeah, I will know shortly.
You know.
There's PMI, then you do closing costs, then do you do 20? Do
what's
you
not PMI? Do... Is that inspections?
No, that's...
Well, there's inspections.
That's your mortgage insurance if you put less than 20% down.
Okay.
You pay it until you pay the 20%, which is super boring adulty homeowner stuff that we don't even know that we need to know yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I searched Zillow all the time, so I was like, I've been preparing for this my entire life.
I am excited for you to send me all of your Zillow things, and then, I gotta be honest.
And then I find homes for myself that I can't afford, you know, window shopping.
Usual things.
And then, like, look at this $7 million home.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's unrealistic, but, like, why is everything so bulky? I notice in the $1 million homes, it just gets very gaudy. And
it does. You don't need to decorate that much sometimes.
Thick gold scroll frames and... Ugh. Ugly floral print carpeting.
Yeah. That's why I really am sad, because I was enjoying looking at the homes in Massachusetts. There was just so much built-in charm with all of the stained glass windows, the cutouts, the built-ins, just all of it.
Yeah, it's a little short notice to move to Massachusetts. Yeah. So, understandable. Yeah.
Job and all that stuff. Transition to work from home and then go from there is what my goal is, I think.
Yeah, because it sounds like you don't need to be there.
Not all
like,
the time.
All the time. So you can always, like, commute in, and I can cut this part out if you want.
Okay. No, that's okay.
It's like, yeah, they know. I work there.
Yeah. I told them that's a goal.
But cool.
Yeah, thanks.
Good luck. Thank you. We will hopefully get you in a new house by the end of this summer.
Do you want to grill meats in my backyard again?
Yes.
Okay. Done. Also, okay.
I'm like, again, did we grow meats?
Yeah.
Probably.
When I lived in Bordy's. And we're like, Ronnie's about to be home. We got to eat this meat. You remember. I see you now.
Oh my God. I lost a memory. We're going to share this fucking steak.
That steak was delicious.
And he worked so close by. He works like 5 minutes away.
That was the only time I used that charcoal grill, I think.
Oh, I like that apartment. There were, like, ducks and stuff. It was nice.
It was okay.
It was fine,
Jelly
actually.
Jelly was like, please, there.
Yeah, fuck that place.
Yeah.
Well,
now we'll have a home, eventually, maybe, and, yeah, all that
stuff. That's our goal. Griffey needs a yard, and then we can, like, plan on getting, like, another little one. By which I mean a dog, because, no.
I know what you meant.
Okay.
Yeah,
no children, but, no. Yeah. So we want to get a house to have Griffey have a yard to get all her zoomies out, and then introduce another member of the family.
Yeah.
And that's our limit. 2 and 2. We've talked about it. 2 of each is a magical number. But if a cat wanders in, I'm gonna take that cat.
Yeah, what are you supposed to do about that?
I'm just gonna leave it outside.
If I have a backyard, that means there's potential for neighborhood cats or a field or woods. And if that cat crosses that threshold into my yard, it is my cat. I am feeding it.
This is my private property.
Yes.
It is on my property.
You are now a house cat. Here's a collar. Please jingle all the way.
Or I might like set up like an outdoor cat habitat.
Also, I was thinking about that too.
I don't want to live in a place with an HOA because fuck HOAs as well.
You can avoid that on your property search. I will show you everything later.
Cool. Because I'm going to buy a house and then have someone tell me I can't do what I want on my property. Like, that's...
Yeah. I want 5 broken down cars in my backyard. Okay? I want junk piled in the front of it. No, I'm kidding. Absolutely not.
It's like, that's what people say all the time. And I was like, that's not... That very rarely happens now. And really, you can just call the township.
Yes.
Yeah. That's always been an option.
Always been an option. But yeah, I don't want people to dictate what color my house should be. My door, anything about it. It's my domicile.
Oh, yeah, because my door will be probably black or red. Mm, and my house will be a bright color.
Yeah. Well, I like a navy with a red, yellow, or turquoise door.
I saw a nice black and white house. It was, like, white with, like, black trim. And I was just like, it looks haunted, and I love it.
I love that for you.
Also, I want a moss wall, like, with vines and moss and just...
On the outside or the inside?
Ivy, that's the word.
That's it, yes.
Not moss. On the outside. Just one section.
I was like, bio wall, go Andrea.
I'll keep it under... Maybe. I don't know, could be a screened-in porch. We'll work it out in my imaginary home. But, let's move on. God damn, I say but-um too much. It's but fine.
Sorry.
No dream corner today because it's Tuesday. I haven't written down anything important. Nothing beats the apocalypse right now. There was that terrible dream that I had when you were there, but I was just, like, pushing that out of my mind. It's mostly gone now, so that's cool.
I'm alive for now.
Yeah. You didn't die. Not in the dream.
God, I know, but also, we're very mortal beings.
Yeah.
Well,
we could download ourselves into the metaverse. Not gonna go there.
Andrea.
I saw the Facebook ad or whatever, and I was just like, no, fuck you, Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, no.
Just let me die. You're just trying to be a talking head in a jar.
Well, that fucking really weirdo. Is a Black Mirror episode.
Absolutely.
Sam Junipero, I'm here for it. Slash not, actually. I like the episode, not the idea of that.
Also slightly reminiscent of the other one where the girl bought the copy of her boyfriend. He died and they sent like the real doll, but like you download his personality into the doll. Just fucking die. You know, when it's time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes.
Let's get to the story because we're just going down a deep, dark rabbit hole.
That's the entire point of our podcast, first of all.
Like the Alice in Wonderland part type. Yeah. Fuck. I'm leaving that in. Whatever. You know what I mean.
I do.
And yeah, that is our podcast, Intrusive Thoughts. So yeah. One moment. Water break.
Fine. I'll join you.
I might hydrate or dihydrate. Well, dihydrate is just drowning, which, I mean, if you want to.
Okay, yeah, I mean. Sorry, my
all hat wasn't going on. All the squeaks.
Hide your flask life. Sorry. That's, you know what I mean. Well, are you ready for the story that I put off writing for several weeks?
I am ready.
All right, good. Strap your boots on and hike up your pants, because here we go.
Okay. That was a lot. I'm like,
it's Tuesday. What do you want from me?
Strap on my, and then hike.
Like a prince.
Strap on my. Oh, I was thinking like a seatbelt. Okay. Nope, don't worry about it.
Don't overthink it. It's fine.
I already did. Let's go.
All right.
Ready.
Eight years of memories came flooding back in an instant. The rage filled me up and poured out of my being. I woke up this morning feeling accomplished from my past week at work. I even gave myself some time to sleep in. I never get to do this and felt like I deserved it today. The sun was peeking through my curtains in such a cheerful way. I walked out of my room into a very clean apartment. Abby was running around, getting the place ready for tonight. She was excited to introduce me to her boyfriend with a nice dinner prepared all on her own. She had been planning this all week. When I first moved to this city, it took me a while to embrace being independent. I don't like to be alone with my thoughts and was really anxious when I was by myself. After my last roommate moved out, I didn't think I could be content without her, but I was really hitting my stride. I did miss my old roommates, Sharon and Ryan, from time to time. I mean, they were a part of my life for several years. We somehow found a good balance between friendship and our introverted tendencies. Boundaries became a love language. Sharon always encouraged me to enforce my boundaries and test new ones out on her. She was so supportive. I didn't know I could live so closely around others and not have to sacrifice my own comfort. My roommates were surprisingly compassionate, and when Ryan initiated the first move out of the apartment, it hit me really hard. Truly, I didn't know how much I depended on the presence of these people in my life. I started to have this irrational panic creep into my psyche. My dreams were vivid, and I started to have a recurring dream of screaming into the night with no one to hear me, oftentimes waking up in a cold sweat when I would have these dreams. Even after adjusting to the news, I couldn't shake them. In the beginning, I could pretend that moving was an exciting new adventure with a fresh start in every town. I was determined that when I moved here, it would be the last time I relocated because of my ex. Sharon was the first person I met here, and I was so thankful for her and how supportive and warm she always was towards me. She reminded me so much of my old friends. The day we met was one of the lowest I had while on my own. I had spent most of my money and was on my last $50 and still needed to find a place to rent. I didn't have time to even start saving money again when I saw his note in my front door for the last time. He had tracked me down again, and I was so used to starting over that I grabbed my go bag from the hall closet and walked toward the door, confident that all I needed was myself this time. Sharon saw something in me that day and took me under her wing. She didn't seem fazed when she found out this was the fourth city I've moved to in the last year. I told her a bit about my past and that every time I had moved, my ex seemed to find me. This is the furthest I'd moved away from my hometown, and it was more of an adjustment than I anticipated. I would say that she helped me, no questions asked, but she did have a few before she opened her heart. Within that first week, she set up a makeshift room for me in her studio apartment. I had a feeling she'd been through something similar herself, from her innate understanding of my flinches and lack of self-confidence. I always questioned my decisions in those first few months. Honestly, I don't think I've ever truly shaken the self-doubt, but it has definitely become more of an afterthought in the last few years. She helped me find a job, and eventually introduced me to her friend Ryan, who would later be our other roommate when we outgrew her tiny studio. Ryan had been gone for a few months when Sharon finally started looking for her place. She was in a long-term relationship with Steve, and it was a natural next step for them. She felt so guilty knowing I would be on my own. We had an emotional night when she finally decided to break the news to me. I felt like someone cut the tether and sent me backwards, flailing my arms in the sudden instability. I caught myself, and for once, I thought it actually meant something that I could rely on myself to intuit my own needs. I was finally in a good place with my career and assured her that I would be all right for a while, but I would consider finding at least one replacement roomie after some time by myself. She didn't want me to be alone when she left, so she offered to help me meet with any prospective new roommates. Besides, she was in no rush to move in with her boyfriend and his old college buddies. Their lease wasn't up for a few months anyway. She had started packing a month before her lease started and had embarked on the search for my new roommate even earlier. I trusted her instinct when it came to reading people and choosing someone who would be able to give me space and not cause trouble in my life. I was riding a wave of routine and comfort. I had finally started to establish and enforce my personal boundaries and even tried speaking up for myself. I was flourishing. So many people that we met were fresh out of relationships and eager to move in, but their eagerness really made me anxious. Something about not having enough time to get to know them before we would share a home had me on edge. There were some interesting characters in the mix, like the girl with four cats, the guy who kept looking at my feet and moaning, and the girl who brought a suitcase with her. Just when I had started to give up hope that I would find the right fit and consider living by myself, I got a call from Abby. She sounded shy but sweet, and more importantly, her background check came back clean. Abby said she wanted some space away from her parents and to finally start living more independently. It didn't hurt that her boyfriend lived close by and she could go to his house without worrying about her parents asking so many questions. Her timeline was perfect to get to know her a little and for Sharon to fully move out. It wound up that they overlapped for a few days before Sharon moved into her new place. We all got along so well that it was a bit of a shame we couldn't all just live here together. Selfish, I know. Sharon's moving boxes were all labeled in a way that always seemed so adult on TV. On her last day, it felt so empty. Every hint at her presence in this apartment was gone, except for her. The mementos she left on my heart had mended so much of my past hurt. To say that I was glad she had come into my life would be the biggest understatement. The hugs were tight, and the goodbyes were long. After a few weeks settled into the place, Abby thought it was finally time for me to meet her boyfriend. They had only been dating a few months, but I always seemed to miss meeting him when he came over. We set a date to invite him over for dinner for the big introduction. Abby had been cleaning for days in preparation for the dinner. Every time a mug touched any surface in the apartment, she would appear to place a coaster underneath. She was determined to protect the image of the woman she thought he wanted, to impress him with her ability to uphold her wifely duties. The facade wasn't too far from the truth, but there was something off-putting about the perfection of it all. She had succeeded in keeping it clean up to the day of the dinner. Abby was stressed out that morning, running around, doing last-minute preparation and shopping trips. The apartment smelled so good. My stomach was growling from hunger pains, and I was about to ask Abby what his ETA was when the doorbell rang. She spent what felt like 10 minutes double-checking her makeup and giving the place a last quality check before walking toward the door to greet him. Jimmy said hi to me, and Abby rushed him over to the dining table. He had long hair and a fairly well-kept beard. He was pudgy, but he had a stable foundation of muscle underneath. He was soft-spoken and lingered on his words when he spoke. He gave a slight wave when we were introduced. He looked so nervous and fumbled with his silverware. I felt a little sorry for him because I could tell he wanted to impress me. His eyes were sad, but his gaze felt intense. I knew I was just wary of men in general, but something about his eyes was so off-putting, they made me a little uneasy. I noticed that Abby and I were laughing a lot, and Jimmy would sort of hum when he laughed. After wrapping up dinner, Abby brought the grocery store coffee cake out for dessert and set a slice down in front of our places. I was a bit full from dinner and sat watching Jimmy while he took each bite. His beard started to look strange for the shape of his face. I could make out the sharpness of his jawline and could imagine the face underneath. For a split second, I could see the face of someone I hadn't seen in the 8 years that I had lived in the city. In an instant, I could make out his contorted expression as the familiar look of anger crept across it. His eyes used to make fear envelop throughout my body, but I noticed I felt different this time, more in control. James. Jimmy was James. He didn't even bother covering up his name like he had with his laugh. My eyes widened, and I could tell that he knew that was the moment I recognized him. He smirked and said, "Where have you been?" Abby came back into the room, and I can tell she was confused at the tension between Jimmy and I. I responded to him, "I'm surprised it took you this long to find me." I could see his white knuckles around his knife from dinner. He started to stand up and approach me, knife pointing towards me. I didn't know I was capable of it, but I found myself standing up and reaching out for his face. I pressed my thumbs deep into his eye sockets and felt the squishy membrane of his eyeballs give way until I hit the bone of his sockets. I couldn't help myself and pushed until my palms couldn't go any further. My thoughts were focused on the rage I had for him. Everything around me didn't matter in that moment, and I hadn't realized that Sharon was in the apartment again until I felt her hands wrap around my shoulders as she pulled me away from him and swung me around to pin my arms against my sides. Her face was stern, and she looked through me to where he sat, clutching his face. Abby had already called an ambulance, and I could hear her screaming as she ran around the house grabbing paper towels for him, cleaning up his blood. I just stood there, confused at the situation. Why was he here? How did he find me? Why was Sharon here tonight? Sharon didn't miss a beat and led me outside to get away from the situation, knowing that being there wouldn't help anyone. She let me know that she came back for some kitchen utensil that she left behind, or something. I can't really remember. I didn't care. I was just so glad that she had her key. I'll never understand why she wound up back in the apartment that night of all nights. I explained to her that he didn't even change his name. How could it not even register that it was him? It happened so long ago that I must have filed it into a deep recess of my brain. Years of therapy allowed me to replace those memories with ones of joy, ones of a new life away from him. I sat there with my best friend, telling her all the horrible things he had done to take my humanity away from me. The years of abuse, the isolation from my friends, from my family. I told her about the night that I left him. I told her how he always left a note on my door when he found me, how I had no idea what my next move was on the day she met me, but how her taking me under her wing allowed me to get away for so long. Sharon just sat with me in silence. Finally, she wrapped her arms around me as the red and blue of the ambulance lights illuminated our faces. The tears slowly trailed down my cheeks without consent. The lights flashed as the ambulance transported him to the hospital in his deformed state. I could have killed him, but that would mean I still couldn't escape him. I remembered the phrase my mom would tell people all the time when they were being mean. "I hope you have the day that you deserve." I always thought it was a jab at them in a superficial way. I came to realize that she meant that your actions dictate what happens to you in this world. Death didn't suit him. He deserved the years of pain he gave to me and possible others that may have come into his orbit.
Fuck you, Jimmy. People named James are the worst. Jimmy?
Oh, that sucks. I have a really good friend named James.
Oh, whoops. Well, the James that I know sucks.
That's okay.
But I'm sure yours is very fine and very nice guy.
I think I've been watching too much Better Call Saul. His name is Jimmy.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, that... yeah. That's what I ended up with.
That was good.
Thanks.
I know you were like, it's not really what I wanted or, like, where I thought it would go. I was like, that's a really good fucking story.
Thanks. I know I alluded to it, but the reason, I guess, I've been listening to a lot of this podcast called Something Was Wrong, which is a great podcast. It's about a lot of, it's about true stories that happen to people. And the host interviews the people that were in these stories, whether it's friends, family, the victim themselves. And it's about a lot of narcissistic men and women and the pain that they inflict on others. And a lot of it is lies or men deceiving women. And that really affected my view on this story, as well as worst roommate ever. Because let's be
worst
honest.
Worst roommate ever.
Yeah.
Yes. I had to stop. I knew some of the stories already anyway, and I was just like, just when you see the incompetence of the police, just every time.
Every time. Every time.
We're watching the, was it? No. I always get Jeffrey Dahmer and John Wayne Gacy mixed up.
Oh, Wayne Gacy was the clown. Jeffrey Dahmer was the one who ate people.
Yeah.
And sodomized them.
I remember what they did, but I get their names flip-flopped.
Oh, okay.
Is what I meant, but yeah.
Yeah.
There were some incompetent cops in the Jeffrey Dahmer case as well.
But, so the John Wayne Gacy case.
We're watching the tapes. Or I think Carrie finished it, but I'm going to go back and rewatch it.
I won't say a word.
I mean, I know he did.
Yeah.
And, like, the 30 bodies. And I know the story, but, like, I want to see the documentary or whatever it is. You know, get a refresher.
Fair enough. I just went through it last week, I think. It was... I mean, you know the story, but then to have people tell you about it and...
Like, see clips and
stuff.
I was like, I gotta go back, because he started it without me, because I've just been in, like, a not horror mood. I've just been, like, a nice, easy... baking competition.
Yeah, you need that.
Bullshit Netflix type of zone. But yeah, I think I'm ready for the John Wayne Gacy tapes.
Fair enough.
But did I tell you about the cutest like competition show that I watched though? It's called Big Flower Fight.
No.
It's so cute. It has that feeling of like Great British Bake Off, but it's floral decorators from all over the world. And they have to recreate, you know, a different, like, plant sculpture every week. And there's, like, a theme. Like, I think the first one was, like, bugs. So,
everyone... I feel like I've seen this. Yeah. Where they, like, use the wire and their big old sculptures.
Yeah, and the mesh, and they, like, make these big, giant sculptures.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't...
Maybe. Was I watching it at one point when you came by last time? Possibly.
No, I've seen it, like, years ago. Pre-pandemic? I don't know. But it's a great show.
Yeah, teams of two and such, and they...
The mother and daughter, the best friends. Yeah.
The colorful, flamboyant ones, because every show's got one.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's fine, yes. You need it.
Yes.
Anyway, that's where I am.
Like it.
John Wayne Gacy later.
That's fine. Well, have you ever seen Russian Doll?
Oh, yeah, we're watching that right now.
I feel the same way that you do because I just don't have the energy to dive in. And I think I want to rewatch season one before I get back into it.
Yeah, this season, it's not as depressing as the first one. Not that the first one was depressing.
It was kind of, though.
But, she was just killing herself over and over again.
Yeah.
This one, there's a twist to it, and I think it's a really interesting turn. And I'm enjoying it. Even though I know there's probably going to be, you know, it's a dark comedy, so there's going to be some darkness, but so far it hasn't really been triggering my sad bone. I don't know what to call it. You know, it's not a funny bone. It's a sad bone.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No,
I gotta come up with a better word than that.
I certainly feel that way as well. Also,
got a case of the morbs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I realized today? Speaking of sad bones, I haven't cried in a while. I'm a very emotional person. I used to cry weekly, I want to say.
Congratulations?
I don't know. I just is that realized a thing that. Congratulate people on?
I don't really know.
I mean, I haven't been overly happy, but I
guess haven't been overly sad either.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Wow. Someone had mentioned that they cry a lot. And I was like, yeah, me too. No, I don't cry a lot anymore, which I used to. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it was a note. I feel like
it's a good thing. Yeah. With context. I don't know.
Changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I seem more contented than usual. Well, pretty good.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's emotions. You're not going to always be constantly happy or sad. It just kind of changes.
That's fair. I feel maybe more stable, is it?
That's a good word.
Not that I was unstable, but...
Things were unstable, though.
Yeah.
Like, the world was unstable. Because I feel like even though they threw, like, this house thing at you, you're like, all right, I guess we got to start shopping for a house now.
That's a really great point. Thank you for saying that.
It's like, all right, guess we're doing this. Versus, like, panicking, which, not to say that there's not some panic involved, because it's a very big, big step to take.
I just it's remember that.
Yeah.
What's that line, and I am, I'm panicking right now. I don't know, maybe
I'm going to lose my job.
Yeah.
I don't know what you it's know a reference for, about. But I know what you're talking about.
It's a British person.
Like, no, you're fine.
No, but I am. I'm panicking. I mean, on the inside, that's how I feel, but...
I'm assuming it's from Great British Bake Off. It sounds like something.
Yeah, because it's sweet, but true and honest.
Like, someone's comforting her. She probably, like, forgot to start the oven, and now she's behind.
Hold on. I need to find it.
Hi, Tiny Morbid Andrea here. So, I wasn't recording when we did find the clip of the British person saying... I'm gonna lose my job, and they were crying. So it turns out it was a man, and that man was a pedophile, and it was kind of like a British To Catch a Predator, and the person crying was, like I said, that man talking about how he's gonna lose his job, and how he was there to meet a 14-year-old for sex. So I just wanted to pop in and give everyone that update. But I wish I was recording, because the absolute disgust that both Sophia and I had when we discovered that that's where that sound clip came from, that's usually attached to, like, something really cute, is really based on something super disgusting. Fuck pedophiles. Kill them all. Okay, thank you, bye.
If you liked this / my story and want to hear more, be sure to follow us on Twitter at TinyMorbid or YouTube, Instagram, and Reddit at Tiny Morbid Fantasies.
And it'll be featured in an upcoming episode. Send your stories to tinymorbidfantasies@gmail.com.
If you have any questions or comments, you can send those too.
Till next time,
keep it spooky.
Like a stalker ex who finds you no matter where you go, and then you end up gouging his eyes out, but then you feel better about it because fuck that guy. The other guy's named James.
Where'd you come up with that?
Oh, okay. Top of my head.
Yeah. Good one.
Thanks. Okay, bye.
Bye.